Hello. So today we are going to be learning Vayikra Daf Yud Beis, which is for Parshas Tzav, and we are finishing the Maimer L'Hag Masha Kazuba Haggadah. So the opening of that Maimer, the Alter Rebbe asked two questions. The first one was that in the Haggadah, we say that the reason that we're eating the matzah is to commemorate the fact that when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, the dough on their bags did not have time to rise. And so therefore, we eat matzah. And the Rebbe's question on this is that the chiyuv of matzah, the obligation of matzah, did not start after they left Mitzrayim as a commemoration. It actually started 4 days before when they were told that when they give the Karban Pesach the night before Yetzias Mitzrayim, they have to eat it with matzah. So the Alter Rebbe wants to understand what it means that we associate it with this historical event. The second question is that if Pesach is a commemoration of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so during Yetzias Mitzrayim, the chiyuv of eating matzah and the Isser Chametz was only one night. So why is it that on Pesach of nowadays, it's a 7-day Yom Kippur? And to understand this, the Alter Rebbe distinguishes between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. He explains how on Yom Kippur, we experience a joy of Bina of Atzilus being revealed. And Bina of Atzilus is something that is comprehensible. It's an experience that can be comprehended. And as a result of the comprehension, it produces Simcha. Masha'inkin, Shabbos is the Gilui of Chachma, and Chachma is less Machshavat Pisabeh. Chachma is a revelation that cannot be grasped by intellect, and therefore does not produce the same Simcha. And now the Alter Rebbe is going to continue. And he says that on Shabbos, it says, Shmartem es Shabbos ki kadeshi, that Shabbos has to be guarded because it is holy. And the Alter Rebbe points out the fact that Shabbos is called itself holy, and the reason it's called holy is that it is that on Shabbos there's this Gilui of Chachma. Masha'ein kein Yom Tov is Mikra Kodesh, Yom Tov is called holy, meaning that holiness is expressed towards it, but not that it itself is fundamentally holy. And the reason for this is that on Yom Tov there's a Gilui of Bina, and the Kedusha is the idea that Bina draws into it Chachma. Now Bina has this dual identity, that Bina is a yesh, in that it's the yesh to Chachma's ayin, but it's not a davar nifrat, because nothing in Atzilus is a truly davar nifrat. The bittul of Bina is influenced by the fact that there's a constant hamshacha of the bittul of Chachma that's going into Bina. And this is what allows there to be this hisgalus of taina, this revelation of divine pleasure, which is fundamentally a gilei arinsayf. So the way that this gilei arinsayf can happen within Bina is by the bittul that Bina gets from Chachma. And therefore, the comprehension that is had in Bina is not a comprehension of something that is chas v'shalom nifra. It's not that the comprehension that Bina offers is of something that is separate from God, God forbid, but rather is that the R in this particular circumstance is allowing itself to be experienced and allowing itself to be comprehended. And in this experience, it's obvious that anything that is below this is kula kamekalei chshiv, right? That everything beyond beneath Bina is obviously insignificant. So, in other words, Bina is transmitting the bittul. Bina is transmitting this reality that there's enayt mavadai, and this provides the joy of Yom Tov, the realization of this higher frame of mind. However, this simcha requires a deeper level, which is the drawing it down chachma, so that the simcha can be not just a reflection of the reality of Bina, but a reflection of this broader reality that less machshavas pisabei of Arin Seif. And this is why it's called holy. Just like a person will call to his friend, that it's a that it's only the handle by which this person is grasped. So too, the holiness of Yom Tov is not essential. It's just a relational frame, because the entire holiness of Yom Tov is decided by and based upon the revelation of Chachma. How is this revelation drawn down? It's drawn down midrabanan through davening and through halal, and on Pesach it's drawn down midraisa through achilas chametz. Because achilas matzah, that achilas matzah is a revelation of chachma that is lemaila meseichel. So this is based on the lemaila menadam. This is based on the Maamar Chazal that a child that cannot call to their father until the child has tasted of bread. And so, and what it's saying is that the child calling Abba, in this sense, the child being mamshech from Chachma, is not shot that the child understands what he's saying. Right? The child does not have an understanding of the personality and identity of the father, right? Because the child still has this childish, immature level of understanding. But nevertheless, the lechem, right, the bread, provides the child with the beginning of a relationship with the father. And in the context of Pesach, the bread of matzah provides us with the beginning of a relationship with Chachma. That matzah, like a child that has this immature perspective, matzah also has no flavor and no rise to it. And so similarly, it's lemailim hadas. It's something that is not within any particular intellectual framework. And with it, for this reason, it's called in Kabbalah michla de mamnusa. It's called the bread of faith. Now, the experience of matzah, this hamshacha of chachma that we're discussing, only happens on the first night. And the obligation to continue eating matzah that carries on through the rest of the Yom Tov has to do with feeding off the continuing to nurture from chachma, but to nurture within each of the zayin midas of chachma, and that we're drawing from the different aspects of chachma, which are lower than chachma as it is itself. But the different aspects of Chachma, perspectives of Chachma, and we're drawing down each day of the 7 days of Pesach, we're drawing down Chachma into each of the Zayin Midas. Now the obvious question becomes, if this is so necessary, then why didn't they do this when they left Mitzrayim? Why did they only have one day? And so the Alter Rebbe explains that when they left Mitzrayim, they had something that we didn't have. They had Moshe and Aaron. That Moshe and Aaron had this, what Moshe and Aaron are associated with, the Anani HaKavod, right, Aaron particularly, the Anan, the cloud, is a reference to Makif. It's Makifim in this case, Makifim of Chachma, that Moshe and Aaron provided this transcendent, ever-present awareness of Chachma among the Jewish people, which at the practical level was represented by the clouds which killed the snakes and the scorpions within the desert, and at the spiritual level, what this meant was that Moshe and Aaron had the ability through their presence of keeping any of the klippa away from the samshacha that was being brought down. And for that reason, when they left Mitzrayim, they only needed that one day. Whereas when for generations, what was required was these 7 days of eating matzah, and these 7 days of not eating chametz. Now, but even for us today, there is a distinction between the mitzvah of eating matzah the night of Pesach, which is this original hamshacha, and the later days, which have to do with avoiding, which are more about avoiding chametz, meaning more about avoiding the nikas hachitzayin that was, again, in the desert provided by Moshe and Aaron, and that we need to provide through practically not eating chametz. And what allows this to happen is the fact that the first day of Pesach is a day that is defined by chesed, and so the gilui that happens the first day of Pesach continues to be this original gilui of chachma. Now, we come out that there are two types of matzah. There's the matzah of this first night, which is the matzah that every Jew is obligated to eat. And then there's the matzah of all the other days of Pesach, and the second matzah is the one that we say is based upon the historical event of the dough not having the opportunity to rise. And the value that is provided to us by this second matzah, we say, was covered for our avos through this gilui of melech matzei hamlachim. And the Alter Rebbe is now going to give us three different explanations for exactly what that means. This gilui melech matzei hamlachim. So the first one is the simple pshat, which is that the malachim are earthly kings. And Malchei Hamlachim are the Sarim, the angels that ultimately have the power over these nations. And the Eibishter is Melech al Malchei Hamlachim, that the Eibishter controls everything. So that's the first pshat. The second pshat is Melech Malchei Hamlachim is that his the Eibishter runs his whole kingdom on 10 spheres. The Malachim are Nihi, the Malchei is Chagas, and the Melech Malchei is Chabad. And the way that this translates is that in Eilam HaSiyah, there is this revelation of Nihi, and the Eilam HaYitzira is a revelation of Chagas, and the Eilam of Bria is Bina of Atzilus. And in Atzilus itself, there's Chachma, and in Chachma is the actual Gilui of Aryan Tzayf Baruch Hu, and this is called the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. It's called the absolute controller of everything. And when that Melech Malchei Hamlachim is revealed, coming back to our original story that the Chametz was not allowed to occur when as they left Mitzrayim. Because of this revelation of Melech Malchei Hamlachim, the way that this works is that when Chachma is revealed, which Chachma is this Gilui of Aryan Tzayt, that when Chachma is revealed, as a matter of course, Chametz cannot occur. Because the revelation of Chachma precludes the possibility of ego, precludes the possibility of other. As it says in Mishlei, Yiras Hashem b'ni u'melech, fear Hashem my son and the king, or fear Hashem and the king my son. So the simple interpretation is that just like you fear the Eibishter, even though you can't see him, and through that fear you are distanced from doing averus, so too you fear you have this fear of the king, that the king rules the earth, and that there has to be this constant awareness of him that will protect the citizens from being protect the subjects from being killed. And then there's another pirush, which is Yiras Hashem b'ni u'melach, and the way it's explained is that the u'melach al yisirach, you will control your desires, and you will control your yetzer. And the Alter Rebbe explains that both of these are true, that through having this fear of the Eibishter, that is the true fear of the Eibishter, that the fear of the Eibishter, that he is Melech Malchei Hamlachim, through this you'll have the ability to control your own yetzer, to not go after Taivas Gashmim, because of this essential fear. Whereas the Yetzirah is by definition chametz. So now, when they left Mitzrayim, and there was a Giloy Melech Malchihem Lachim, in that moment, there was no time for chametz, meaning that in that moment, there was no time for Yetzirah. But for us down here, in generationally, it's our obligation to prevent this chametz from occurring, to prevent us giving into our Yetzirah. And this has to be all 7 days, meaning this has to affect all seven midas. That currently, we leave ourselves in control of our Yetzirah. That through the Shpiras HaKelim are the Zion Tachtanim, right? That we give ourselves over to the Klippa, we give ourselves over to the Yetzirah, so that every one of our midas are really informed by the instructions of the Yetzirah, and therefore we have to bring in the Masa and Bittul to get rid of the chametz. Now, on this first level, it says, "Bavur ze'ata havaya li," that for this reason God did for me. And what this means is that through the Masa, the Asa Havaya, which is a revelation of Chachma, and the idea of Asa, that God did this, is that he drew this revelation down, this Gilui or Insight, came down all the way till El Ma'asiyah, to this world of action, and this is Pshat Asa Havaya Li, that God's influence came down into Asiyah HaGashmi. And how is it that it's possible that this Ur can go down all the way into Asiyas, into the Gashmias of Mitzrayim? This is only Shayech if you say Bavur Zeh for this reason, meaning that through the Masa that draws down a Gilui of Chachma, which is higher than Siddur Shalshlos, and is from this place of Kechashecha Ke'ira, and that everything is equal, that darkness and light are equal. This allows there to be Asa Havaya Li, this allows there to be a revelation of Havaya that goes all the way down to the Gashmis of Mitzrayim. This is the reason why we describe Yetzias Mitzrayim as being Ani V'lei Malach V'lei Saraf, right? That we preclude all these different options in the Haggadah of beings that could have been caused Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Ebeshir says it was only me and none of my messengers, because these messengers, the Saraf, these Malachim, are from Biyah, and even in Atzilus there is this component of Biyah, in that Malchus of Atzilus is called the Asiya of Atzilus. And Chagas is called the and Bina are Chagas and Bina are called the Yetzira and Bria of Atzilus. And all of this is being precluded when we give this list of the different divine entities that didn't take us out of Mitzrayim. That it was only Ani. What we're saying is that it was none of the other spheres of Atzilus. It wasn't a Gilui of Chagas, it wasn't a Gilui of Bina, it wasn't a Gilui of Malchus, it was only a Gilui of Chachma. And there's another interpretation, and this gives added meaning to the words Ani V'lei Malach, because Malchus can be called a Malach, and what we're saying is that it's only Ani, it's only Hamshacha of Chachma, which is the Atzilus Shabbat Atzilus, only that is what caused the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why was it necessary that it be Ani? Because Mitzrayim is a place of profound Tumah. And the only way for us to be able to go out of Mitzrayim is that Mitzrayim be related to from the perspective of Kechashecha Ke'ira, where everything is only about the Ebeshir's perspective. It has to be an Ar Chachma, it has to be a Gilui of Ar Insight, and this because what would have been drawn down by a malach would not have had that perspective. It would have been to some degree from the perspective of creation. Now, it's true that a malach is only ever a shliach of the Eibishter, and therefore, in that sense, we should see the malach's actions as only being a perfect reflection of what the Eibishter wants. But nevertheless, the malachim are part of creation. Their source is in Seder Hashdashlos, and and this quality is drawn down specifically in an Ilav Alol way, which it's drawn down in a way that each level can be traced to the level above. So the malach is, so to speak, trapped within that system, as opposed to the hamshacha that is lamayla m'seder stamslos, as opposed to hamshacha that is not bound within m'seder stamslos. That is a hamshacha that is not ilav ol but yesh ma'ayin. It comes from, so to speak, nowhere. It does not come within a tiered system, and therefore it's able to take the yidden out of Mitzrayim, which the malachim could not do. Now, although this very satisfyingly explains the beginning of the phrase Nagada, that the ani v'lei malach, ani v'lei sarach, ani v'lei hashliach, the last part of the phrase is still quite perplexing, where it says, where we say ani hu v'lei acher, right? After we've excluded every other divine being, we still say myself and no others. Right? And the obvious question is, who is this acher that is being excluded? Once we've already determined that it's not the malachim. So to explain this, the Alter Rebbe cites the idea that during from Elul to Yom Kippur, we mention the Yud Gimel Midas Zerachim. There's a hamshacha of the Yud Gimel Midas Zerachim that begins at the beginning of Elul and goes all the way till Yom Kippur. And this hamshacha is brought down and is tied to the idea of Bali Tshuva, the idea of fixing a chet, fixing a blemish, fixing a mistake. And the way that a mistake is fixed is that there has to be hamshacha that is higher than where the Avera was from, right? Which coming back to our original theme, it has to come from a place of kechashecha ka'ira. And so what happens, the Yud Gimel Zerachim that we say during Elul and until Yom Kippur are a reflection of the fact that during that time, tshuva is possible, where we can fix the blemish caused by our Averis by reaching a point that is higher than where kechashecha ka'ira, where darkness and light are the same. Now, we got the Yud Gimel Zerachim, as we know, from Moshe's experience with the Chet HaEgel, that the Yidden did the Chet HaEgel, and then Moshe advocated, and the Eibishter gave him the code for tshuva, which was the Yud Gimel Zerachim. And we find that it says about this experience that Moshe had, that v'mahar Moshe, that Moshe hurried to bow and to say this Erech HaPayim, and it's explained that Moshe was rushing. This urgency that Moshe had to do with Moshe wanting that that Yud Gimel Zerachim be reserved only for Yidden. He wanted this. He understood that the Eibishter's Giloy has the ability to also go to Chitzayim, and his bakasha, his request was reserve this, keep this for the Yidden. That the Eibishter is a kol yachol. The Eibishter can be there's no rules. And as we see that just like there was a Moshe, there was a Havdil a Bilam, right? And just like there was a Moshe, there was a Havdil a Parah, right? That when you're talking about the level of Kechashecha Ga'ira, there's a danger, so to speak, in that the Klipa has the ability to feed off this, right? And this is why we say Avadam Ayinu the Parah B'Mitzrayim, that because of this kachashecha ka'ira reality, there's the possibility that Pare is able to be Meshabit the Yidden. When we leave Mitzrayim, there's a we have this matzah, which matzah is the gilei of chachma that comes down here through and it's tied to an esrusas lasata of the yidden actually making the matzah. This esrusas lasata allows that the gilei of chachma goes only to the yidden and does not go to chitzenim. And this is the reason why we say that when the Eibusher took us out of Mitzrayim, it was ani v'lei acher. It wasn't anybody else. That Pare and all Chitzenim could not benefit and could not experience what was being experienced when the Yidden actually left Mitzrayim. And the mitzvah is what makes this targeted, personalized revelation possible. And the matzah is the tool by which this occurs, because the matzah draws down this aura of chachma, and that happens in the first that happens in that first moment of leaving Mitzrayim. The 7 days afterwards, the 7 days after we've left Mitzrayim, that we have this obligation to continue eating matzah, where we are acting out, so to speak, what happened in Mitzrayim as a matter of course, we are doing through not eating chametz. The Dalai Lama is going to explain. Although he pauses to briefly explain why it is that that chachma has this particular quality that's able to be both kechashech ka'ira and targeted, that the that chachma does bring from lamaylam we say the restashlus, where we say kechashech ka'ira, where we say that both that there is this equality. However, because it's channeled through particularly chachma, that's where the targeted individualism occurs. So in other words, in theory, the revelation that Chachma is bringing down should be able to come to everything. But when it's channeled through the particular channel of Chachma, the conduit of Chachma limits and targets it to allow it to come particularly to Tzadik Kedusha. And the technical process is that this is Chachma Vatilus being drawn into Yisoid of Chachma, that is then Nislavish in Yisoid of Zah. And this is similar to the Yud Gimel Min Sarachman, the Rachamim of these the Midas Rachamim seem to be a contradiction in terms, because Rachamim is giving and Midah is measure, but the Midas Rachamim are precisely that, are the targeted as the targeted revelation of God that only goes to the particular place in which it is that it is supposed to go to. Now we only say this Ba'avur Zeh, we only say this Ba'avur Zeh in reference to both Matzah and Mar. So now the Alter Rebbe is going to explain what the function of Mar is at the Seder. That Mar has to do with Mariris. Mar has to do with bitterness. That a person feels bitter over their distance from God. And this awakens the Yud Gimel Min Sarachamim. Now it says in Menachos, Yaveh Zeh Be'Kabel Zeh Mizeh, that this one comes and accepts this from this. And like Mark explains, what is the this? It's that Moshe gave this Nebuah, and this is the drawing down of Torah. And so we see that Zeh is a reference to Torah, that Torah is this conduit for Chachma. And which is why when Mashiach comes, there will be a conduit also for Pnimius Seder, for Pnimius HaChachma, which is the two Zez in the phrase, in the Pasuk, Hine Elokeinu Zeh Avaya. These two Zez are a reference also to Pnimius Seder. However, the whole Avaida is predicated on Hayyim La'asoysam, that our Avaida is to do Maisa Mitzvahs, particularly in Galus, in the practical sense. And that for this reason, we're saying that we only say Ba'avur Zeh when we have Matzah and Mara in front of us. That the and the, the The reason for this is that hayyim ma'aseisam, the idea that we do mitzvahs today, and that the mitzvahs of today matter, is that the mitzvahs of today are mitzvahs that depend on our bechira. As the pasuk says, Re'ein esahati levanecha asachayim esav, vezatev ezmavet vezorah v'charta b'chayim. And maror, as brought down in Eitz Chaim, is gematria mavas. Now, the reason that maror is associated with death is that that gashmius is associated with death. That gashmius is that given that gashmius has the nature of decay and has the nature of loss, it's the opposite of the life of ruchnius, which is constant. And the reaction that one has from engaging in gashmius, engaging in mavas, is maror, is marirus. That given that I made this decision to go after and chase gashmius, I feel this. But this marirus is only shayach during during zman hagalus. The ubachar debachayim is only shayach during zman hagalus. Whereas when Mashiach comes, the spirit of death will be consumed. There will be no more death. There will be no more of that. And so what this means in the broader sense is that there will never again be gashmius hiding the hiding a lukos, and therefore there won't be an opportunity for this marirus. And this is the pshat in the pasuk. Continuing, Umacha Havaya Dima, that the Eibishter will wipe away our tears. Dima as the gematria of Kofchas, which is the amount of permutations of the letters Elohim, and Elohim is Teva, and the different permutations provide the different forms of Helam Behester. Whereas when Mashiach comes, we say Bahaya Havaya Li Elohim, that the two are going to be one, and that and we will understand that unity. And so, and this is the meaning of the pasuk that the Eibishter will wipe away our tears, that he's going to wipe away the perception of materialism as being a entity of significance. And this is al derech, the idea that the Eibishter is going to take the sun out of its sheath. Now, in conclusion, it becomes clear that maror is only shayach, the idea of marirus, the idea of bitterness is only shayach so long as there can be a hester, which is called mavas. But when when Mashiach comes, that we say bila hamavas lenetzach, the Devashir will consume death forever. This is going to be an actual practical reality in which maror, in which marirus, in which bitterness can no longer exist, and therefore the protection of matza to make sure that it doesn't become chametz is only necessary during zman hagalus. When Mashiach comes, it won't the chametz won't happen because the chametz won't be possible. That the yeshus of gashmius will not be possible because it will all be infused by this bittul. Or, says Al Rebbe, says alternatively, there will be chametz, but the chametz will not have any indikas hachitzenim. The chametz will not have any relationship with otherness, with klipa. That the chametz of Mashiach will not be a chametz that has any ego or any yeshus to it. And for this, this is the reason why the carbon taida, which was a carbon in the base of Mikdash, had with it 10 chalas of chametz, and it says in Medrash that when Mashiach comes, all of the karbanas will be canceled except for the carbon of taida, because every other carbon has matzah. Besides the chametz of Taida and the Shtei Halachim. And so therefore Mashiach comes, what we're being taught by this Medrash is that chametz will be elevated to the point that it can exist, and for this without being a contradiction to God. But now, bizman hagalus, this becomes our only opportunity for matzah and maror to have their significance, because because only at this point does maror have what to require bitterness, and this is the nature of the Pesach Seder now. How do we respond to the maror? How do we respond to Gashmias? This is through the Gilei of Seviv, that at a Seviv level, Mailu Umata are the same, right? And as Shmaya as Aret Animala, as opposed to when Mashiach comes, as it says, the Tshuva will not help when Mashiach comes. That when Mashiach comes, there won't be a concept at all of making this mistake, and therefore the Maror will no longer have the same relevance. Now the Alter Rebbe offers another answer, which is related to what we said before, but it's a totally different answer to his question of the fact that the mitzvah of matzah was given before they had left Mitzrayim and had this experience of the matzah of the dough not rising, and he explains it based on the fact that we find a concept brought down in Medrash. That there's an awareness with God of the future while also in the past. That the Medrash asks, how is it that we talk about the four rivers of Gan Eden going to places that when Gan Eden that did not yet exist? And the Medrash answers, Magid Mireshis Achris, I tell from the beginning to the end, that the Eibishter has this awareness of everything at once. And so the Alter Rebbe says that we can answer this question here, that the reason that they didn't eat the matzah, excuse me, the reason that they ate the matzah in Mitzrayim was a reflection of the later event. And the Alter Rebbe now combines his two answers that he's offered by saying that the two types of matzah are the reishis and achris. That the reishis is momata lamayla, as we say that reishis chachma yiras Hashem, which is yirat hatov. The first matzah is based on this yirat hatov, and then there's this first matzah brings us to the achris, which is this second matzah, and it's explained in Pardes that the achris is yevil, and the meaning of this is that Yetzias Mitzrayim, like yevil, brings a freedom, and it's explained in the Ma'ir Eris that the gematria of achris is keser, and so what happens at Yetzias Mitzrayim is that there is this Gilei Melech Malchei Hamelachim, and this is the which is the Magid Mereshis Achris, because Magid is Lashon Hamshacha, Magid is a drawing down, and that through the Reishis, the Magid Reishis, the Rak Magid Mereshis, that through drawing down Reishis, through drawing down the Yirat HaTorah, later can come the Achris, can come the Yirat Hilah.